And remain standing and turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel. First of all, chapter 22 and verse 31. Luke 22, 31. Tomorrow night in Portland, at the Oak Street Church in Portland, our Monday night study there, and tomorrow night I just want to announce this. We're going to speak from Leviticus in a very unusual message entitled Pertaining to the Blood series on the blood. God has given us a new series on the blood. We're going to speak upon what the blood does to the trespass offering. And the trespass offering is a very unusual offering. So tomorrow night, what the blood does to the trespass offering. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny me thrice, that thou knowest me. I want you to notice that as the background for the second in today's series on this important message. I prayed for you because Satan desires to sift you. And Peter said, Satan will not sift me. You can just forget it. He'll never get me. And the Lord says, I tell you, he will. That is, he will try to. As a matter of fact, I'll be even more firm than that, the Lord said. He said, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. He'll sift you, all right. You'll deny that you even ever knew me. And Peter said, that's what you think. I'll even die for you. Man, what a distorted image of his own worth. What a distorted image of his own value. And every single heart here tonight is in that category potentially. You may deny the best person in this room before a year is up, and you will if you don't get baked in the loaf. And tonight I want to speak upon this subject. Sifted or baked? You'll either be sifted or you'll be baked in the loaf. I wish you'd heard this afternoon's message to compliment it. But anyway, tonight, you're here to hear this one. Sifted or baked in the loaf. Then turn over to the book of Acts. And I like this. All right. Then verse 12 of Acts 1. Returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode Both Peter and James and John and Andrews and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Peter stood up. Where is he now? In the midst of the disciples. Something has happened to him. In verse 14 of chapter 2, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. He's with them. Something's happened to him. In Acts 2:1 is what has happened. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all, every one of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed. In verse 13, the response of those in the community in the city of Jerusalem, what meaneth this? Others mocking said in verse 13, these men are full of new wine. Father, bless this message now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now then, tonight, you can give me your undivided attention with no one walking in and out during the message unless it's an emergency. Ushers, make sure that happens. And I want you to get the message, because as we were praying tonight before the service, the Lord revealed how vital today will be in revival, this series today. It will be extremely vital, because the Lord showed us some will not be in the revival. The reason? Not through rebellion, but they'll be sifted as wheat, because they're not baked in God's loaf. Some will not be in revival. They'll just be too busy to be revived. They'll just be too occupied with their mundane duties and their religious activities, which have been the same for years. And they don't dare to make a move for God, because they fear their community and they fear people, or fear somebody, or they don't want to sacrifice and pay the price. And because of that, they will not be baked in God's loaf, and they will be sifted. Now listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 10:16 and 17, for all members of one body, and that one body is one loaf. 1 Corinthians 12:12 and 13, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body and made to drink the same drink with the one Spirit. Now this is what happened to Peter. Peter was sifted, but Jesus prayed, and because Jesus prayed, Satan wasn't able to take him, but he did sift him. Now why was Peter sifted? Because Peter operated as an individual outside the body of Jesus Christ and did not understand the body of Christ. Somebody said this today, and I like it. I may quote it. They said, a lot of people have received the body as a principle of living, but they're not able to fulfill it because they don't receive it in a personal way, or they don't receive the person of the body, they only receive the principle of the body. I'm not talking about Jesus, the head. I'm talking about the one new man that Jesus has raised up. They receive the principle of the body life, but they don't receive the person of the body, the one new man, or they refuse to be baked in one loaf. They don't want to be confined to one loaf. That would be responsibility. And they don't want to be that responsible. They'd rather wander and vacillate and do what they want to do because they still want to hold on to their hours and their time and their program and still love God and still love the body and still go to heaven, but they don't want the wonderful principle of responsibility to be baked inside of one loaf, God's living body. Peter was an individualist, but an individualist that operated according to Peter. Oh, he was dedicated. He certainly was. He said, Lord Jesus, in John 13:36, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said, you can't follow me now, but afterwards you can. And Peter said, you don't understand. I'll follow thee. And Jesus said, no, you won't. And when Jesus predicted he was going to go to the cross, Peter said in Matthew 16:22, be it not so, and be it far from thee. And Jesus said, get thee behind thee, Satan, in verse 23. Peter was an individualist. After the resurrection, when Peter had already denied the Lord three times, in the 21st chapter of John, in verse 1, he said, I'm going to go fishing, even though God had told him in Luke 5:6 and 5:8, never to go fishing for men, for fish again, but from then on for men. But he disobeyed God, and he went. He was an individualist. Because he was an individualist, he was sifted and became a casualty. And in Matthew 26:69-72, he left Jesus Christ, denied Jesus Christ, and said he didn't even know him, and he was sifted in a wicked, terrible, backslidden condition, just like some people here tonight are going to be sifted because you will not, you refuse to be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God in the corporate body of Jesus Christ, and you refuse to exercise the dedication to the cross by committing your life to lose your life that you may find it, and so you're going to be sifted as wheat by the devil. You want to be individualist. If you knew when revival was really coming, you'd come that service. Or if you knew that week, you'd pray that night. Why? Because you want to individually experience it. But God is not going to give revival to individuals. He's going to give it to His one new man, God's Mr. Individual. Now, He wants to bake us in the loaf. You've never seen a grain of wheat ground and put into the loaf that's ever tried to get out and say, wait a minute, I want to get out of the loaf. Brother, once they're baked inside that loaf, they're baked. Now then, Peter was going to be sifted because he wasn't hid in the body. That's why I think it's such a benefit for those that can. For the students, for example, to live right here at the school. That's why I think it's so necessary to go to the cross and really learn how to live in a body, how to function as a body, how to complement as a body, how to love as a body, how to lay down our lives as a body, how to really cooperate as a body. That's why, because we're anybody in America, all born-again believers that understand life, whatever denomination they're in, if they understand life, they're a vital part of God's body. And thank God, listen, but Peter didn't function as a corporate body member. He functioned as Peter wanted to function. Bragging, boasting, and very much considering that he would never fail. And so in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14 and Acts 2 and 12, Peter stood up with the 11. Praise be to God, something happened to Peter. He stood up. What had happened? Number one, he went into the upper room with the body. Number two, he'd been filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And number three, he was in the body. He was in the body with the 11. No longer was he going to function now as an individualist. He was going to function as one of them that would end up in prison. Every other thing as a part of the whole body. When he was an individual, he denied Jesus. But when he became a body member, he was thrown in prison and died with the body. And I want you to see what happened to Peter. It was a very unusual story. But Peter wasn't the only one. The disciples in Matthew 26:56 forsook the Lord because they were individuals and not baptized and baked in the loaf. Not only did the disciples do this, but also John and James in Mark 10:35 said, "Grant to us," in verse 37, "that one may sit on this side and the other on the other side in thy kingdom." They said, "Listen, we're individuals. Put one of us here and one of us there." They were operating in individuality, but not in the body. They were very concerned about where they were sitting. But they weren't baked in the loaf. Now watch it carefully. In the book of Exodus, when God brought down the manna from heaven in the 16th chapter, and in John 6:32, Jesus said, "That bread that Moses gave you was not true bread." He said in verse 35 of John 6, "I am the living and true bread." And he said it again in 42. But he said, "The bread that Moses gave you, that was not true bread." It was manna. It was from heaven, but it wasn't the bread that Jesus Christ is talking about. It wasn't the true bread. What is the true bread? The one loaf that's the corporate body in 1 Corinthians 10:16. That's one loaf in 10:17. That's the true and living bread with Jesus Christ the head, the many members that make up the one new man with one mind, one heart, one song, one prayer, one burden, one understanding, one desire, one goal, one vision, one compassion, one purpose, and it's the mind and attitude of Christ. That loaf becomes, watch this next statement, God's showbread in the holy place. And that's his show loaf. He said, "Listen, I've got one bread, this one loaf, and it's in the holy place. It's been through the cross. It's been resurrected after its burial, and it's now ready to show the holiness of the mind and head, Jesus Christ. It's my show bread. It's the loaf. You can't see any particular member. It's just one grand holy loaf." Now, why is it a holy loaf? Because they submit to one another in Ephesians 5:21. They esteem one another better in Philippians 2:3. They lay down their lives for the weakest member in 1 John 3:16. They love one another as God loved them in John 13:35. And because of this particular body, every member is hid, said Jesus in Colossians 3:3. And they're one man. You can't see any one individual. You just see Jesus Christ operating in a glorious way, with him being the head and the many members making up his body. They are a precious body. They're my showbread. And they're going to manifest the Holy of Holies life with a veil rent. They are my showbread, and they're one loaf. Don't look for an individual to stand out. There is not any. But what happened in the manor? Two things happened. Number one, they started to get baked in what God was sending or bringing their way instead of God. Now watch it. God is sending things our way from heaven. Trials, people, good things, bad things, a lot of things. He's sending things that come directly from him that typify the manna. And as God sends these things our way, the things that come to us, people start getting occupied with the things that come from God instead of God.
they start getting baked in the manna instead of the true bread. And when they do, they get occupied with something that is not true and living. The circumstances that will lead me into the heart of God, they are not the heart of God. Circumstances at my life, Christ is. And the things that come my way from heaven are not the things I'm to live in. I'm to live in Christ and in the midst of the things that come my way to glorify Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And so by the grace of God, instead of getting occupied with the manna, all the things that come from heaven, we get occupied with the true and living bread in John 6:35, and not the bread that is not that bread in John 6:32, which came to Moses. How many think you're understanding? That means tonight that if a trial comes your way, you get all flustered and all wrapped up in the trial. And God sent the trial as He did the manna. You don't get wrapped up in the trial. You say, glory to God, that's not the true and living bread for me to eat. Jesus is. And you go in prayer and you stay on your knees and read the Word and praise God and say, I just got fed with the true and living bread. Now let's say I did have a trial. Let me think about it for a minute. God, what do you want me to do in it? You're occupied in Luke 19:13 with Christ till He comes, and not what He sends, but with Christ. Now the second thing is, pertaining to the manna, they let it rot, and they refuse to receive what God sent and take it from God and eat it and receive the nourishment that the life of Jesus Christ wanted to initiate in the manna. So they let it rot and didn't eat it. Now, a lot of people have responsibilities to face. Instead of facing them, they let what God sends their way for a purpose of revealing the life of Christ through Jesus Christ, they let it rot and get smelling and stinking and don't receive it and don't respond to it and don't eat it, and therefore it becomes a problem for rationalization, a problem for fear, and a problem for procrastination. And they don't take what God sent and eat it and deal with it in the morning of their life, but instead they let it tarry and they procrastinate and it rots and the food smells, and then the circumstance and the trial or whatever it is gets so nasty and so big that it smells so much they couldn't eat it anyway. Because Christ wouldn't be in it, because they've distorted the image and value of that trial by unbelief and by delay without faith. When God sent something our way, eat it, eat it, eat it. Be responsible. And out of eating it and being responsible in doing right in that thing He sends, we'll begin to see and eat Jesus Christ in the manna. How many understand that? Okay. Now then, I want you to see tonight that when Peter got ready and became baked in the loaf, he was in one room, the upper room, and one accord with all the rest. He was in their midst. Peter didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit one bit more than all the rest. They all got it. Peter didn't speak in the tongue of another, of a national language, any more than all the rest. They all got filled and they all spoke in the national language. It wasn't just Peter. It was the whole body, corporate. No longer was Peter an individualist. He lost his own individuality. And it was a beautiful thing, because now, Peter, you're going to really be in there for some trouble. But you'll be hid with the body. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 13, Peter had the Lord's joy with all the body. In Acts chapter 2, 41, he shared with everything he had with all the other members in the Lord's portion. In Acts chapter 2 and 41 and 46, he had the Lord's communion with all the other saints. In Acts chapter 3, he and John gather together and heal somebody. But they said, listen, look not at us. After they said, look upon us, later in the chapter they said, look not at us. We're just members of God's body. And the man took up his bed and walked and held them up and got gloriously healed. With the Lord's communion came the Lord's message from Peter, the Lord's portion, the Lord's healing, the Lord's fellowship, and the Lord's suffering. In Acts chapter 4, they had to go to their own place in verse 23. They had to share in the Lord's suffering. In Acts chapter 4, 31, they went back up in the upper room and got filled with the Holy Spirit again through prayer, and the place was shaken. They went into the Lord's burden and the Lord's prayer. In Acts 4, 5, 41 and 2, they were beaten again and placed in prison. And once again, it was the Lord's suffering. And in Acts chapter 8, they were scattered abroad everywhere. And in Acts 17, 6, they turned the world upside down. The Lord's commission, the Lord's missionary project, ministering to the world and turning the world upside down. This is the Lord's body, the Lord's joy, the Lord's communion, the Lord's sharing, the Lord's portion, the Lord's Spirit. This is the Lord's commission. This is the Lord working. And every member was baked in the loaf. And with that one loaf, God turned the world upside down. Why? Because the life of the Lord was being manifested. The power of God was coming forth. This was the Lord's ministry, the Lord's portion with the Lord's vision. And Jesus Christ was coming forth with His gifts, with His grace, with His love, and just manifesting life. And people were receiving the Lord's deliverance.
Now that's what happens when the body begins to enter out of individuality into the one new man. Have you ever got somebody aside and said, I love the body, but I don't agree with this? You proud, stinking hypocrite. You're a lousy, stinking, rotten hypocrite. Have you ever got somebody aside and said that? God told me this and all the other body members are wrong. You deceived hypocrite. You're a deceived hypocrite. And furthermore, if you defile God's temple, you will perish. 1 Timothy 3, talking about the body corporate. In the temple of Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. And it says, whosoever defiles the temple shall perish. And you can't defile the body of the living Jesus Christ, because it's His dwelling place. You can't do it. It's God's body, and He died for its sins. He died for its flesh. He was crucified for its guilt. He was buried and rose again for its justification. He's made it complete. He's made it holy. He's made it righteous. And it's now His showbread. And even though some of its members need to grow, they need to grow into Him, to the head, to the concept of the body. Nevertheless, if you attack the body, you're attacking the living Christ. That's Luke 10:16 and John 13:20. Now, Ananias and Sapphira tried it. Didn't last long. They had a couple of funerals. But spiritual pride and individualism will make you think you know more than the sovereign God working in His body. Amazing mystery, but it happens again and again in the history of the corporate body. When individuals think they know more than the head who has all power, who is sovereign, and who has a plan and an eternal purpose of Ephesians 3:11. How many understand that? Now, Peter was that kind of a man before he got baked in the loaf. John and James were that kind of men before they got baked in the loaf. The disciples were that kind of men until they got baked in the loaf in Acts chapter 1 and Acts 2. But when they got baked in the loaf, then what happened? One by one they suffered and died. One by one they helped turn the world upside down. And one by one they paid the price of martyrdom.
Why? Because they were hid with Christ in God, and they began to go, and they were willing to die and suffer and bleed for one another and stand for one another in the oneness of their body. They were willing to lay down their lives for each other. And in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, Peter thinks that Paul's a much better man than he is. He's changed. He's talking about Paul's ability in Scriptures, which are much better than he had. He said that. Why? He had changed. His individuality died, and he became humbly submitted in honoring another and esteeming him higher. And the Word of God teaches us the tremendous power of that body as they turned the entire world upside down. Now listen, when we get talking about corporate body, a lot of minds wander in places, because the thing fathers from their mind is understanding the body. I mean, for you to lose your individuality, that's the last thing that you want to happen. For you to go to a cross and die to yourself, and then when God resurrects you, He doesn't resurrect you for yourself. He resurrects you to put you in a body. He refuses to give you back the individuality of which He crucified. The old man that you had, He crucifies in Romans 6:6 and buries him. And He said, I'm going to resurrect you, but when I do, I'm going to resurrect you and translate you into a kingdom. And you're going to be hid in it. It's the kingdom of my dear Son. In Colossians 1:13, and you'll be as a stone in the temple in Ephesians 2:20, and you'll be an abiding stone in that temple of God, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit and the dwelling place of God. I'm not going to resurrect you for yourself. You're not going to be able to go in your own concept any longer. I'm going to place you in a one new man body. I'm the head. You'll be just a member. I don't even know where I'll put you. Sometime I'll have you as a hand. Another time a foot. Another time a finger. Another time an eye. I do not know where I'll place you. I'm not even going to tell you, because I'm versatile. And therefore, I don't want you to even sense your significance. Only sense Christ. I don't want you to even realize your own place, your own need, or anything. I want your life to be Christ, not the manner, and not something that comes from me, not something I give you, not a project, not a program, not a blessing. I want you to center your life totally in me, and you won't even be conscious of where you are, or what you're doing, or why. For you to live will just be enjoying Christ. When you get in the loaf, do you want to be placed in the loaf? Or would you rather not be? Listen, we need people here Sunday morning. We need that place jammed. We had 290 with the kids this morning. We're heading for 1,000. Do you want a body that's going to grow? Do you want to be in one of the fastest growing churches in the state of Maine, winning more souls or any other? Or would you just like to hitchhike along and go along as you feel led as an individual? Would you rather do it as an individual, or would you rather lay down your life through a cross? Think carefully. How much is it worth to be bait in the loaf? It's worth as much as God is. Because Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. It's worth losing every single thing. And he said, I do this that I might gain Christ. Why do you lose everything, so to speak, as far as your mental possessions are concerned, as far as your attitude goes? So you might gain Christ. How powerful would your church be if every member was just like you? Could they continue the prayer meeting? Would they be successful Sunday morning? Would their Sunday school be the largest in the state of Grow to Be? How fast could they make it if every member had your attitude in it? Listen, let's get baked in the loaf.
Why? So we can be God's showbread in the holy place. The seven golden lampstands, the altar of incense, and the table of showbread. God would say, that's my loaf. You see the altar out in the outer court? They had to come that way. They had to go to a cross. Jesus Christ died for them and died as them. And as He did, He baptized them into the holy place. And the holy place is where they will not have sin imputed and will not have sins imputed. And then He took down the veil, their flesh, so they could go into the Holy of Holies and find mercy. And have the Shekinah glory of God through the epistle of, through the great book of Acts. And then out of the Holy of Holies, they come back into the holy place. And there, they're God's loaf. And the loaf was pointed toward the outer court so that the outer court could look in and see the loaf even without coming in. And you could be in the outer court even before the altar where the sacrifices are made, and you could say, see the golden lampstand and see the loaf and see the altar of incense. They were right in the vision of somebody outside the altar, or somebody that wasn't saved could still see the loaf. And believe me, the world sees the corporate body. The world sees them as the light of the world in the finished work, the seven golden lampstand. And the world feels the effect of their altar of incense, prayer. And the world sees and sees their Shekinah glory. And by the grace of God, when you become one loaf with Jesus Christ, you're heading out toward the beyond the altar of incense and the outer court and beyond it into the world to preach the gospel and to share Christ and your portion of the Lord Jesus. How many understand that? Now, when Peter was martyred, he had long since lost his individuality. So much so that many of you have heard, and I want to put it in this context tonight, how that his head was up and he asked them to put it down because he wasn't worthy to die the same way Jesus did. And they said, we're going to kill you. And he said, fine, but I have one request. And they thought it was going to be to spare his life, but it wasn't. His request was, he'd so lost his individuality that he said, would you put my head down and kill me that way? And they said, yes, we will. He said, thank you. Why? Peter had been turned upside down in death. His values, his attitude, his concept, his vision, his philosophy. No longer was Peter trying to see with his eyes, but he'd been turned upside down, and death with Christ did it. And no longer was, watch this next statement, no longer was Peter the head. His head was on the ground and he couldn't see. Jesus was his head, and when he went to martyrdom and to die with Christ and for Christ, Jesus was his head. His head was on the ground, close to the ground, and it was upside down because he was satisfied to let Jesus be his head, because he lost his individuality in the one new man or the body of Jesus Christ. How many understand that? Now then, as we close tonight, this type of subject is so serious. Because when anyone's individuality comes out, it is so obvious that the grain of wheat is not baked in the loaf. It's so obvious when the times come that even for a moment when we're not one. And thank God we are. But oh, listen. What's going to put the bus visitation over? One loaf. What's going to put prayer over for revival and through other servants of God that are praying? We got a brother goes to school from Auburn, another brother with us tonight. And dear pastor up there, Don, and his body is young and precious and praying and really love God with all their heart. What do they want? Revival. Another body in Rumford, Brother Shaw, what do they want? Revival. They're going right after it, and God is moving wonderful. What do these different bodies like this want? The same thing. Revival. One loaf. But friends, we're not going to have it without the cross. There's two problems with Christians. The cross doesn't crucify their flesh, and therefore they're never baptized in the body of Jesus Christ. I want to call upon you for prayer. I want to call upon you to go to the cross.